Welcome to Joyful Eating. I'm your host, Jules Clancy, a former food scientist and winemaker turned cookbook author and health coach. I've discovered a simple way to have a joyful relationship with food without sacrificing pleasure or my waistline, and I can help you get there too. Listen on to find out how. Hello, hello, and welcome to Joyful Eating episode number 112. So today we're going to be talking about intentional alcohol. But before we get to that, I wanted to share the best bite that I had. For years, I've been making beautiful broccoli, which they call it beautiful broccoli, but it's basically steamed broccoli where I cut broccoli up and, you know, just steam it in a little bit of water. And I just had the idea of like, what would happen if I didn't cut it up? If I just like took the whole heads of broccoli and steamed them. And yeah, it was really, really good. So it saved me all the chopping time because once something's cooked, it's so much easier. I just kind of tear it apart with my fork. And just the broccoli ended up being like meltingly tender, so beautiful. On Sunday, I had it with poached eggs and pesto. And then yesterday for lunch, I had it with pesto again and some sauerkraut and some like just canned tuna. And it's just so delicious. I was like, I can't wait to get me some more broccoli or my broccoli in the garden to grow faster. Anyway, so that's my best bite. Now, plan for today is first, I'm going to share my shameful history with alcohol. Then I'm going to talk about like how I actually went from this booze hound winemaker, because I used to be a winemaker, to being someone who has a healthy relationship with alcohol. So someone who can take it or leave it. And then I'm going to have a not so scandalous proposition for you at the end. So basically, my shameful history with alcohol. And I don't know why, but for some reason, like my parents weren't really big drinkers, but just when I grew up, I just loved the idea of wine. And so of course, when I went to university, I was living on campus and I found a lot of friends to help me to be booze hounds with. And so like, I just really loved drinking. I loved all the fun things about it. I of course did not like the hangovers, but yeah, like that was just part of like my DNA is that I really like love my booze. You know, at college, definitely over drinking, definitely a lot of binge drinking, a lot of vomiting in places where I have memory loss, all those things, that all the negatives that accompany binge drinking, and putting myself in situations that probably weren't that safe. And thank heavens I survived and nothing really bad ever happened to me. But when I think back now, I'm like, oh, Jules, wouldn't make those choices again. Yeah, so a lot of shame when I think about those things. You know, and then after university, I was working in the food industry for a while and traveled, and again, more drinking. That I actually really wanted to become a winemaker. I had thought about doing that right out of school. Like, I don't know why. I hadn't even really been a drinker, and I still wanted to be a winemaker when I was at school. But I was like, if I did that, I wouldn't get to go to Sydney and go to university. So I ended up studying food science instead. But yeah, like after studying food science, after traveling, I was like, you know what? This winemaking thing is really calling to me. So I ended up enrolling in a second degree in enology and winemaking, and had that career change where I was working in the wine industry, which was heaps of fun, really hard work. And of course, lots more boozing, and legitimate excuses to booze too. Like, because not only was it like I was doing it in the evenings, but it was like at work. You know, I did learn how to spit out, but yeah, there is a lot of negative stuff that goes on in the wine industry around alcohol. And I was definitely a part of that. Lots of things happened, but the worst of it was, the thing I'm most ashamed of is actually was driving I was working for a winery in the Barossa, and I was actually driving my company car home from the pub after a really boozy night, crushed it. Thankfully, didn't kill anyone else. Thankfully, walked away with only minor damages to myself, but completely rode off the car. And I wish I could say that that was the end of my overdrinking and that I completely reformed, but it actually took another good 5 years or so to actually deciding to change. So so much shame and so many things I should have said, all those things. Like, and if you're a big drinker, you know, like you will have those in your closet. And the thing that I want you to take away from this is that it doesn't have to be like that. And that alcohol in itself, yes, for some people, of course, abstinence is the only way. And in order to have a healthy, like that isn't another option. But if you are able to stop, I could do Feb fast where I wouldn't drink for a whole month. Of course, then afterwards I'd be super thirsty. So it wasn't very helpful. And I would overdrink a lot to compensate. But if you are someone who can stop for long periods of time, but you also there's a lot of things that you do enjoy about alcohol and you don't really want to be like someone who doesn't stop. then there is another way. And so how I was actually able to heal my relationship with alcohol and become someone who's intentional around alcohol, because the thing is with alcohol, having like a glass of wine, having a couple of glasses of wine, not a problem. It's like having bottles and bottles and all the other things. That's the problem. So it's like this over-drinking is the problem. And the way to overcome that and to become like someone who has that balance where they're like getting the fun part, the relaxation, the connection, all that, the celebration, but without the negative downside and the shame and all the, you know, bad behavior stuff that goes with it, is this idea of being intentional. So it's just deciding, like using like the best side of your brain and deciding and having some boundaries with yourself around how much you're going to drink. So that's what I did, is like I actually decided that I wanted to change my relationship with alcohol. And that was the first step to actually changing. It was like, yep, I'm going to do this. And what prompted that, it was another embarrassing story of, it was actually like with the 10 year anniversary of my mom's death. And my sister organized for like all my siblings, there's five of us and our families, and my dad to go and stay in this beautiful big house in Barrel in the Southern Highlands. And so we were at the house and it was like, we were there for the weekend. And Friday night we got there and I don't know why, but I just got really, like no one else was, like everyone was drinking, but no one was really going crazy. But I just got really, really hammered. And I was like, woke up the next morning, so much shame. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, what sort of an example am I setting for my children here? Like, I was really embarrassed about it. And I just went, no, this is it. I'm changing. And so I decided to make that change. And I committed to myself that I was going to solve this problem. I was going to do something about my drinking because I wanted to be an example for my children. Like I didn't want to be this out of control mother who was like randomly, who had hangovers and was drinking. Like they were in bed, so they didn't see me actually really being drunk. But still, like, how can I expect them to go into the world and have a healthy relationship with alcohol if I couldn't do that for myself? So that was my motivation. And I made that decision then and there. That weekend, I decided not to drink that Saturday night. There's a bit of self-punishment. Probably I would have a different choice now if I was doing that again, but I made that decision. I was going to figure this out. And that's what I did. And it took probably about 5 years. It was a big journey. but I'm happy to say that now that has changed. Like now I drink probably on average like one glass a week, sometimes maybe two. If I've got a particularly social week over Christmas, I think there was a week I had three in a week. Like that's crazy to me, like that I could go from being someone who like one glass wouldn't even touch the sides to being satisfied and enjoying a glass and being able to like that to be enough for me in a whole week. Like so crazy, but I can do it. I did it. And so like wherever you're at with your relationship with alcohol, if it is like you are able to stop at some point, then like it's possible for you to change as well. And so what I did was I decided, and then I just committed to planning in advance. So being intentional with my alcohol. So rather than going into a Friday night of a big long weekend with my family, not having any plan at all for how much I was going to drink, I committed to deciding ahead and making a plan. And yeah, was I having two glasses? Was I having a whole bottle? Like, and sometimes I would plan like to have a whole bottle and to go mental, but I was being intentional about that so that. And then the next day, I would be, rather than beating myself up and going into that negative spiral, I'd be like, no, well, I chose that. I was intentional. And like that changed everything. I know it seems like a really small thing, but it is. It's like when our brains are really powerful. And when you start getting into the habit of making intentional choices, you can do amazing things. Like I did this, you can do this as well. And so So I decided, I got into the habit of planning in advance. I committed to doing that myself. And of course, there was lots of trial and lots of error, and I got it wrong many, many times. So this was a journey for me over a couple of years. The other cool thing that I did was, because I was working with a business coach at the time, and just those skills of learning to coach myself, like learning to tune into the exact thoughts that I was having and being able to manage my mind around alcohol and to change my mindset and my thoughts around alcohol, that was huge as well. So I had the habit of making intentional choices, like deciding ahead. And then I also learned to coach myself. And also getting clear for me around the negative health aspects of alcohol, that helped as well. Because, and also like the other thing that happened is as I got older, I noticed the effects more. So if I had more than a couple of glasses, I would wake up in the middle of the night, like, you know, and wouldn't be able to get back to sleep. So I had that incentive as well as the longer term incentive of being a good role model for my children. So that's how I did it. That's how I healed. And it took time, but I got there. So my scandalous proposition, or not so, it's actually not so scandalous proposition for you, is that I actually have a group that I started last November. It's called the Secret Society of Intentional Booze Hounds. And really what it is it's an exclusive, really small coaching group to help people like me who love wine, who love, it's pretty much everyone loves wine, to get in control over your drinking, where you like have this balance where you enjoy, but you're not going too mental. So if you're interested in joining that group, I'm actually opening up to new members at the end of April 2023, whenever you're listening to this. If you're interested and it's past April 2023, you're still welcome to email me, because I am really, this group I started in November and it's so fun. It's like the people who have joined, like people who love to drink, are always the best, most fun people. So it's a really fun group, and we're all, you know, when you have that common goal and we're all working together on something, it's so supportive. And it's really, yeah, I can't stress how fun it is. But yeah, we are opening up to new members. It is a secret society, so it's run over Zoom. So if you're interested in that, or you know someone who might be interested in changing their relationship and becoming intentional around alcohol, then just email me. My email address, I'll put it in the show notes, but it's jules@thestonesoup.com. So email me and let me know if you're interested, and I can send you more details about it. Okay. Have a fantastic week being intentional with your alcohol, and I'll catch you next week. Bye. Before you go, this is the best part. So if you enjoyed Joyful Eating, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform, and I'd love to send you a copy of my free recipe app, Stone Soup 6 Ingredients 20 Minutes. It's full of hundreds of easy whole food recipes, so delicious they'll satisfy even the biggest food snob. It's the perfect little resource to have right on your phone for those inevitable times when you're in the supermarket thinking, wow, what am I doing for dinner? It's available for both iOS and Android, and I add new recipes every week, so it's a really great resource to get for free. See the link in the show notes, or if you just Google Stone Soup and click on the free recipe app page, that'll give you the details of how to grab your free copy.